Welcome to Behind the Badge with Sergeant Glenn Fifield, Public Information Officer with the Indiana State Police at the Lowell Post. Good morning, Sergeant Fifield.
Good morning.
Each month, the State Police are doing a press release on commercial trucks, drivers that are out of service, oversized, overweight violations. And this information could indicate employers are complicit in allowing these infractions. Who investigates if that part of the equation is true?
Our motor carrier division, our commercial vehicle enforcement division, they have a special group of troopers that conduct audits on trucking companies. And depending on what their FMCSA score, which is their federal motor carrier score, is, they can become qualified for an audit. And that's not something that you want to be qualified for if your score gets too low. And you gather points by, you know, getting tickets, whether it be for speeding, overweight, crashes, stuff like that. That's how they accumulate scores. So if they get enough points, the federal oversight will initiate those audits. And they also can be random audits, but tend to focus more on the trucking companies that are having issues and have lower scores. And those audits can result in fines. They can result in suspension of their department DOT number, their Department of Transportation number, which allows them to drive their trucks on the road. So it's a very serious event when one of those trucking companies do get audited.
There was a three-vehicle crash near Roselawn just west of I-65 on State Road 10 as the first stoplight west of the interstate, in which an illegal immigrant allegedly injured three people by running a red light. Is there a specific investigatory team for these types of incidents?
A driver of a commercial motor vehicle, or any vehicle for that matter, is deemed to be not here legally or whatever the question is. We have numerous troopers that are, it's called 287G certified, and they are allowed by the federal government to take those people into custody and transport them to holding facilities where they're then processed by immigration officials, and then the decision is made whether they're allowed to stay or they're deported. So that's how we handle that when we come across an individual that has that status.
Is there anything different that happens if when the employer would be investigated?
Yeah, that's a good question. That would fall back, again, on the same principle of the federal government decides to audit that trucking company for hiring them. You know, how they got. Now, at the same time, you have to remember that a lot of the states have been issuing commercial driver's licenses to those folks who aren't here, who are here illegally. So the trucking companies are just hiring them based on their CDL, probably assuming that they're here legally or whatever, but they, you know, they've got a CDL through whatever state they're getting it through. And so that's how they're getting hired. So yeah, it's a problem. As we've seen, you know, we've had several instances here in Northwest Indiana. We've had, you know, the one you just mentioned in at the county line there at that stoplight, which is, that stoplight has been, there's a lot of concerns with that intersection there. You know, an incident that happened up in Porter County as well. The same situation with an illegal immigrant that was driving a tractor trailer. It's definitely a problem, and it's getting a lot of attention here recently.
Justin Heflin was recently dismissed from the hospital. If you'd give our listeners just a brief synopsis about what happened, how is he doing?
Sergeant Heflin, he was involved in the shooting in LaPorte County up in Michigan City a couple weeks ago, where it was a pursuit that came out of Berrien County, Michigan, across the state lines and went into LaPorte County. Sergeant Heflin found the vehicle on I-94 and initiated a pursuit, and shootout occurred between him and the suspect. The suspect was later found deceased in a cornfield. Sergeant Heflin sustained several gunshot wounds during that exchange of gunfire and ended up going to, I think it was South Bend Memorial Hospital for surgery and treatment, and he spent exactly a week there recovering. He's now home recovering. He's in very good spirits. I've seen him a couple times. He met last week with the governor, and I had a real nice conversation with them, and the governor, you know, thanked him for his service and his bravery, and couldn't imagine what him and his family have gone through, as well as Trooper Beers, who also got shot, you know, just over 2 months ago. So we've had a tough few months here in early 2026 with officers being shot. We had our two officers, and then Deputy Samuelson with LaPorte County, who's continuing his rehab. It's concerning and it's alarming. I don't recall in my 30-year career where we've had two troopers shot in less than a couple weeks time frame. We had Trooper Patrick, who was local here to Jasper County, was shot and killed. That was in early 2000s, and since then we've been very fortunate. So it's concerning to say the least.
We're speaking with Sergeant Glenn Fifield, Public Information Officer at the Lowell Post for the Indiana State Police. And Sergeant Fifield, recently there was a man who allegedly used his vehicle to destroy mailboxes. If this had been a state police trooper making the arrest, are you required to do anything differently when filing charges if those charges are federal, like destroying mailboxes would be?
It just depends on what the federal prosecutor wants to do, if they're going to charge it federally or not. I know it's a federal offense, but I've never seen it prosecuted as a federal offense. I think probably the federal prosecutor would defer it to, you know, vandalism or destruction of property, criminal recklessness, whatever you want to call it, at the state level. You know, the feds are very busy with larger type of things, so they would probably they could charge it federally, I would imagine, because it is federal property. But my assumption would be that they would just leave it at the state level and let the local county prosecutor. But again, it's completely up to the federal prosecutor if he wants to take those charges or not. So, and you could, by letter of the law, you could charge both federally and state. So just because a crime can be charged in both jurisdictions, federal and state, and it's not double jeopardy. So that's, may not realize or forget.
My dad was a postmaster here in Rensselaer for all the years I was growing up, and every once in a while he would come home with a story or two about what I just asked you about.
Yeah.
Recently, the state police worked a crash, and we had this on the news up in Lake County, I believe it was, worked a crash of a truck hauling chickens. Yeah. Many of those were killed when they fell from the truck. Others had to be found and gathered in by state police personnel. Did you personally assist with the cleanup and the crash, and was the driver found and charged?
No, I was not out on the interstate that day, so I did not have the opportunity to go herding chickens on the interstate. Yeah, several of our troopers did, and I posted some photos on social media with them, with the chickens and all. If we never did find the truck or the driver or the company that those chickens were being hauled by, it's the craziest things. I mean, we see a lot of crashes and things happen where people will call and say, hey, this truck just did this, or this something just fell off of this. And we had no calls on this until after it happened, saw what happened. So that's one of those open crashes that if somebody something that day is just now hearing about it, we would love to speak with you and get that information of what you saw that day on the truck and who it belonged to. But yeah, unfortunately, several of those chickens died as a result of being thrown from the vehicle in their crates as they landed on the highway. But yeah, we had a crazy couple days. We had the chickens, and then we rescued a couple more dogs off the interstate over by the scales in Porter County. And you just never know what's going to happen out on highways. It's like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. You just never know what's going to happen. Go from herding chickens to wrangling cats, saving dogs off the interstate. Our troopers see it all.
A story to tell your grandchildren. Well, you told our listeners the last time you were here about to vote for a particular event that was going on that regarded the state police calendar. For those people that might not have tuned in, tell our listeners what that was about and how the Indiana State Troopers' vehicles fared in this particular voting.
So every year, the American Association of State Troopers, a non-for-profit, and it's one of those organizations that troopers throughout the United States belong to. They offer scholarships. They provide assistance for troopers' families of officers who have been injured or killed in the line of duty. Every year, they hold a calendar contest. And what that is each agency, each state police agency throughout the country will submit a photo of their vehicle in different backgrounds. And this year, we used a photo of, I'm proud to say, our champion Indiana Hoosier football team with our vehicles on the field. And I know you're, Russ, are you listening to this? The Purdue fan over there?
No.
We used our photo of our vehicles at the Rock, and it came in, we're proud to say, seventh place. So thank you to everyone that voted and got us to seventh place. I actually had a lot of Purdue fans texting me saying that they were voting for it as well because they wanted to see us win and beat. We were trying to beat Kentucky and Ohio and all those other states. But once again, Florida won for the third or fourth year in a row, and that's a little frustrating. But we came in seventh, so that means that our calendar should be featured probably June of next year on the calendar. And you can pre-order those calendars at statetroopers.org. You can order the calendars there. It's a really nice calendar. It has all the winners on there. And the proceeds of that calendar go towards scholarships. So it's 100% of the proceeds go towards the scholarship. So it's a real good cause that we do this for. It's a fun event. Some people get upset about it, like we have better things to do, but it's all for a good cause.
If it finished seventh, why would it be in June's month and not July?
That would be because the winner is the proud cover photo. They put whoever comes in first on the cover.
One final question for Sergeant Fifield, and I'm assuming what I'm going to ask you is correct. If I get all the way through this and you tell me that it didn't apply, then that's fine. You had mentioned to me personally that you were going to be attending a Cubs game. If I am correct, I think you attended a Cubs game that actually made history at Wrigley Field because it turned out to be the 11th worst home loss in Chicago Cubs history. I believe the score, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the score was 18-3. One other question I have is, did you leave early? And the second question is, did you actually feel that showing your badge to management would get you a refund?
Full disclosure, I'm a lifelong Cub fan. 2016 was one of the best years of my life, and I'd love to replicate that again. So that being said, our post, we did an outing to Wrigley Field, and yeah, that was not a good day. We were so excited to go, and it just was not a good day. I went with my wife, and we did leave early. We went across the street and went ahead and had some, I think it's called Big Star Restaurant. Throw them a shout out, but they have amazing food. I went there and had some pulled pork and watched the pain and suffering on TV continue. I wasn't going to put myself through it, but no, I did not ask for a refund as much as I wanted to. But our post is doing for the White Sox fans out there, we are doing an outing for the White Sox are having a law enforcement appreciation night. A lot of the troopers are going to be going up there, meeting up there. They've offered us an opportunity to go up there, so we're going to be doing that. And the Cubs also reached out as well and offered us the same opportunity on their law enforcement recognition night. So we have a lot of baseball fans at our post.
Sergeant Glenn Fifield, Public Information Officer with the Indiana State Police at the Lowell Post. And Sergeant Fifield, as always, thanks for being here. Stay safe out there. And
sounds good. Take care. And if you are going to the State Fair next month in August, enjoy that as well.